Been in a three-week series at the beginning of the year here called Seek, Serve, and Share, Firm Foundations. And here at Hope Church, you're going to hear it a lot. We're here to seek, serve, and share, right? We say that a lot. If you've been in the purpose classes, you've heard that. If you come to the purpose class, the next one coming up, you're going to hear that again. Okay, this is what we're about at Hope Church. And so last week, we finished off the section on serve. Today, we're going to talk about the final part, which is called sharing. And I want to start this way. There's a scene in the book of John. And Jesus is standing at the temple in Jerusalem. And it's towards the end of his life here on earth. And here's the passage where this scene is. John chapter 7, beginning in verse 37. It says, "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.'" That's amazing. Last week we talked a little bit about not just getting going in our relationship with the Lord, but getting flowing in our relationship with the Lord. So you have to listen to last week to understand more about what that means. Okay, but what does that actually mean? In this case, John tells us exactly what he meant by that statement. Verse 39, it says this, "By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive." So they hadn't received it yet. "But up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified." So there's something here about the Spirit being given at a certain time. So when Jesus is talking about rivers of living water flowing from within you, he's talking about the Holy Spirit in your life, working in your life. You know, when we say we need to seek and serve and share, it's really with an understanding that comes along with that. That the Holy Spirit is a huge part of your life. We need this. We can try to do things all we want, but without the Holy Spirit, we're just heading for a huge burnout. Anyone ever felt that way? We need something more to sustain us. You know, Jesus said, "Man cannot live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." So we need more than what only meets our physical needs. And you're going to find that out in life, right? You're going to find out that your marriage needs more than only what meets your physical needs, right? You're going to find out that to have a strong family, it needs more than only what meets your physical needs. You need more, and Jesus knows this, and he wants us to learn this. This is actually a wonderful revelation. It is amazing, because what it tells us is that Jesus doesn't expect us to do everything in our own strength. Isn't that good news? Anybody ever feel like they run out this week and run out of strength? Right? But we need to be filled with His strength. It is a strength that is outside of our own strength. And I hope that you felt some of that this week as you engaged in prayer and in fasting. You know, when you're feeling weak, what should you do? When you're feeling down, what should you do? When you're feeling defeated, what should you do? We should pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but you can do that. Like at home. When you're down, you can just pause and you can just pray for the Holy Spirit to fill you up again. That's the practice we need to get into. Pray for God's strength. All right? Let's do it right now. What do you think? Should we do it? Let's do it. Let's pray right now. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for this. Lord God, we pray for your Holy Spirit to fill us up. Fill our lives, Lord. So that what we've learned and what we know can flow out of us, like you said, on the temple steps in Jerusalem. Give us strength, Lord, as we're running low on energy, as we're running down and doing so much. God, would you fill us up? Thank you. Amen. Amen. That's good, huh? We can do that. You can do that all day long if you want to do that. It's a good thing to be in relationship with the Lord like that. It's a good thing to talk to the Lord. It's a good thing to actually run out of energy. It's a good thing to run out of strength. It's a good thing to not have all the answers and to run out of answers. You know why that is? Because it will force you to run to a greater source. That's what God is doing in some of our lives right now. You're like, I am completely done. I am spent and I'm out. I'm here to tell you that the Holy Spirit's working in your life. When you get to that point, He's turning you back to Him. So don't feel like God has left you. God is very near to all of us. So when you feel that way, that's the time. That's the time to turn back to the Lord. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Why do we even need the power of the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you why. Because the gospel was never meant to stay on the pages of the Bible. It wasn't meant to stay there. It was meant to show up in and through your life. That is really where the gospel is meant to be seen. In our lives. By others. So let's talk for a moment about when this actually occurred in the Bible. We know the story. Many of us do. It's in Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and here's Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 2. It says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And it's an amazing scene, but at the end of it, all the people, they're amazed, and they say, what does this mean? And we know what happened from that point. The gospel began to spread all over the world. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, right before this, Jesus, before he ascends to heaven, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What does that mean for you and me? It means that we have a huge purpose in life. We are called to share the gospel with the world. And we are also empowered to share the gospel with the world. And it means that both our calling and our empowering come not by our own strength, but through a vibrant relationship with God. You hear what I'm saying? If you've run out of strength, that's because you're running on your own strength, right? But that's good. It's good to run out because we need to engage a relationship with God, with the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen? We find purpose. We find our purpose also in Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus came to them and said, He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Amen. Jesus has all authority, which he gained after dying on the cross. And just before he ascends to heaven, by that same authority, he gives us this great commission to share the message with the world. That is what we're called to do. And I think you can see from, you know, today's testimonies that if you're part of Hope Church, you're a part of the Great Commission. This is why we exist, to seek, to serve, and to share by the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through our lives. We care about this church. We care about this city. We care about this world, and we care about each other. That's what we got to do. Amen to that? Amen. Let me dive a little bit deeper into the significance of this call. Okay, I just want you, this next part of the sermon, to just understand how significant this is for your life. All right? As Jesus was saying all this, he's saying, you'll have rivers of living water flowing from within. This is where he actually is. He's in attendance at the Festival of Tabernacles, okay? That's the setting. That is the context here. And let me give you just a little bit of background on the calendar of festivals that Israel closely followed. This particular one was one of the big three, okay? There were actually seven that God commanded Israel to follow and to celebrate, but there were three really, really important ones that they were supposed to celebrate. They were given all this at Mount Sinai when Moses met with the Lord and he was given the law. So it was all spoken through Moses. It was after they had come out of slavery. All these festivals were very important, but the difference of these is that God required that all of the men, every man in Israel had to come to these three. You weren't allowed to miss these three. And you had to present yourself before the Lord at these three festivals. First of all, I just go, wow, what an amazing God, right? You want us to have a huge party three times a year. That's pretty fun, right? Those three huge parties, huge festivals, celebrations, I'm talking over 2 million people came to Jerusalem, and they were in attendance at those three festivals. All right, and here's what the three big ones were. They were the Passover, they were Pentecost, and they were the Tabernacles. These three festivals, Jesus is at one of these. Each one was to celebrate something different, but this one, the Festival of Tabernacles, was a little bit different. This one was the last and the greatest of the festivals, the last one of the calendar year. It was awesome. Have you ever heard that song, Celebration, by Kool and the Gang? Know that one? All right, I want you to finish the line. I think you can do this. If I say, celebrate good times, that... Yo, I knew you knew that song. Everybody knows that song. That was this festival, all right? This festival was a celebration of all the good times from the entire year, all right? The harvest was brought in. The granaries were full. The wine presses were full. The olive presses were full. The bank accounts were full, all right? Sales were good. You got your bonus, right? It was all handed out. The aroma of success was everywhere at this festival. The people rejoiced. They celebrated, and they also had a lot of fun because this festival had another name. It's called Sukkot. I don't know if you've heard of that, but it's where they built these little shelters. And they lived in these shelters, and they left the comforts of their home. For a little while, they lived in these shelters. And they were supposed to remember that they needed something more than just all the success that was around them. They needed something greater. And that without God filling their lives, they really had nothing. They had nothing. So when Jesus says these words here at this festival about living water flowing through your life, there were millions of people in Jerusalem, and it was like this great and final opportunity to tell as many people as possible about where true provision comes from. It was the last chance. Why? Because calendars, you know this, they cycle. Woo! They're fast. Here we are. We are into 2024, man. Amanda was talking about this morning. Christmas came, Christmas went. Boom, it's coming again. Right? This festival ended. The cycle went back around very quickly. And the next one, everybody went home, but not too long later, they're coming back for the next festival, which was the first one of the year. And that one was called the Passover. What's the significance of all this? Well, Passover began in Egypt. And some of you know that story about what happened. God had the Israelites slaughter a lamb and then paint the blood over the doorposts of their homes. And in this way, he saved whoever obeyed his command to do that. And the angel of death that night in Egypt passed over their house. And they were saved. And then Pharaoh the next day said, "Away with you." And they were freed. That is significant. This is incredible. This is incredible. Listen to this next part. It then took them 7 weeks to travel from Egypt to when they stopped at Mount Sinai. 7 weeks. How many days is that? 49 days, okay? And on the 50th day, they were handed down the law of Moses. They were given the Ten Commandments 50 days after the Passover happened in Egypt. And so that was called Pentecost. Why? Because it took them 50 days to get there, to receive the Ten Commandments. And so 50 days after the Passover, was Pentecost every year from then on. And that's why they celebrated this. We know Pentecost. Well, I grew up not really knowing that part of the story. I grew up knowing that Pentecost was the day the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples. That's what I always attribute it to. And on that day, the tongues of fire came down. But that was also one of the big three. One of the big three festivals. 50 days after the lamb was slaughtered to set the people free from slavery, here's what happened. On the mountain, fire fell from heaven on Mount Sinai. Here's the verse in Exodus. Let's read it. It says, on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain. In a very loud trumpet blast, everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. He came down in fire. You see that? And it takes me right back to the beginning. We circle back around to Acts chapter 2. The sound like the blowing and the violent wind came from heaven and filled the house where they were sitting. And this time fire also came down, but it came down and it split and it went on all of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to see the correlation here. Jesus died at Passover. Just as the lamb was killed at Passover in Egypt. 50 days later, Israel saw the presence of God come down in the form of fire on Mount Sinai. 50 days later, after Jesus died, what happened? The presence of God came down in fire on the disciples. The question everyone was asking, what does this mean? This is what it all means. In the Bible, fire is a representation of God's presence. You'll see this as you study God's Word. The burning bush, fire. The pillar of fire leading them through the desert. The tent of meeting, His presence came down. Here at Mount Sinai, at the temple when it was built by Solomon, fire came. And now the Holy Spirit. They're all representations of God's presence with people. And fire always marks where God's presence dwells. And now His presence has rested on people. No longer is it unapproachable. In the Old Testament, on the mountain, God said, keep everybody back. Don't let them touch this mountain. It's too holy. If you touch it, you will die. You can't be with me. And what separated us was the sin that we had in our lives. But here in Acts chapter 2, the fire has become available for all of our lives. Why? Because Jesus Christ died and He paid the sin. He paid the price. So now we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can have the fire of God. We can have the presence of God in our lives. And in this church. Amen to that. That is exciting to me. You're part of that call. You're part of the call to share the gospel with the world. God wants His presence in your life. And there's a simple way to do that. You give your life to Jesus Christ. You acknowledge His sacrifice that paid for your guilt and your sin. And once you do that, and you get baptized in water, then you ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit, and He will come and dwell in your heart. If that is scary for any of you, I'll be right here after service. Love to pray with you. I really would. But listen, as we wrap this up, God has empowered us to share His message with the world. We're no longer to live for worldly things, right? He's made us a church community. It's no longer a beautiful temple where His presence comes. It's a beautiful body to become witnesses of the risen Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's work on doing that as we leave today. Let's work on sharing the gospel with our families, our friends, our co-workers. Tell somebody about what God is doing in your life. Let's get into the Word this year. Let's know God deeper so we can live out our gospel call. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, my heart is that Your presence would be in our lives. I believe, God, firmly that Your fire will come and dwell in our hearts, like You said. And if we would obey Your word instead of walking our own direction, I believe what You said is true, God, that rivers of living water will begin to flow out of our lives. And the grace that You have given us will flow through us and be given to others. Help us to remember, Lord, that we need You. We need more than just our physical need. We have deeper spiritual needs. God, fill us with Your Holy Spirit and fill this place. In Your great and mighty name, we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. We love you, Hope Church. We'll see you next week.